A very good morning to you. On behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. We are recording in Silver Spring, Maryland, and are so glad that you can join us. Sota Daf Yud Aleph, Sota 11a, pagination is 21. We're starting from the Gemara in the wide lines, about 15 lines down. At the end of a line, Hava Nishak Malo is where we begin. We started this general topic because the sota is treated mida keneged mida, measure for measure, according to the type of behavior that she displayed, the Kohen in the Beis HaMikdash during the sota ritual treats her accordingly. She put on a fancy belt to do her thing, so now we put on a belt that is degrading, that does not have the flair pomp that she was displaying previously. She showed herself off to somebody, so now we do this ritual in a semi-public type fashion by a doorway. Once we were dealing with the topic of Mida Keneged Mida, the Gemara develops a number of examples of this, including a deep ethical or philosophical question which Paro had at the time that the Jews were oppressed in Mitzrayim. The basic concept of Mida Keneged Mida is that Hashem would punish, or reward as well, but He would punish according to the type of behavior, the way it would be appropriate to punish that behavior. So the Gemara tells us, based on the pasuk in the beginning of Chumash Shemos, Hava Nishak Malo, that the words of the Mitzrayim were, let us be wise against him. And the Gemara asks, Lahem Miboile, it should be, let us outwit them. Get smart against them, the Jews. Why does it say, let us get smart against him? Who's the him? Amar Rab Chama b'Rabbi Chanina ba'u v'nechakeim l'moshian shal Yisrael. They were trying to outwit Hashem himself, the savior of the Jews. B'meh nidonam. And they were wondering, what is the correct way to judge the Jews, to deal with the Jewish problem? How should we do it? Because they knew that the Savior of the Jews, Hashem Himself, would eventually punish them. Nidonam ba'esh, should we judge the Jews with fire? Throw the Jewish baby boys into the fire, for example? So they didn't want to do that because they know that Hashem is powerful with fire. Becherev, should we punish them with the sword, deal with them with the sword? That wasn't a good idea either because Hashem has power of the sword. Elabo v'nidonam b'mayim. The suggestion that they dealt with was that they should deal with the Jewish problem using water. Shekvar nishba HaKadosh Baruch Hu she'ena mevi mabul la'olam, because Hashem promised that He wouldn't bring a flood to the world. So they've chosen something on which topic the Jewish God is impotent. He can't do anything to us. Shenemar, because the pasuk says, ki mei noach zosli. Hashem made a promise. It was known that He made a promise that He's not going to bring the flood, the waters, again to destroy the world. Interesting philosophy in order to outwit Hashem. The Hein Einam Yodim, the Gemara comments, they didn't know, Sha'al Kol Olam Kulo Eino Mevi, that indeed Hashem will not bring a mabul on the entire world, aval al uma achas humevi, but on one nation, Hashem never promised that He wouldn't bring a flood. As the Marsha points out, the Pasuk describes it as Velo Yikares Kol Basar, a flood that would cause the cessation of all flesh. One nation is not a violation of that commitment, and Hashem could still bring a flood against one nation despite his commitment. Inami hueno mevi, or Hashem won't bring. That was the commitment. Avalhein ba'in v'noflim besocho. But if they are foolish enough to go and fall into the water, if they decide that the dry land that was dry for the Jews is no longer an ocean, is no longer a sea, is no longer a waterbed, they're going to go in and think that the miracle is going to be for them too. So then, Vayashav Hamayim Le'esano, when the water returns to its proper place, they're going to get drowned. But that's because they walked into it, not because Hashem brought it upon them. And that's also related to the Pasuk that describes, Me'avor Me'noach Od Al Ha'aretz, that the waters will not flood the land, but the waters have their place. If you go into their place, that wasn't Hashem's commitment not to do. V'chenu Omer, and that's the description in the Pasuk, U'mitzrayim nosim likraso. And the Egyptians were traveling into it, and that was their decision. V'haynu de'omer Abelazar, and this is what Yisro found so remarkable in the salvation of the Jews and in the punishment of the Egyptians. De'omer Rabbelazar ma'idich siv, ki ba'dovar asher zodu aleihem. In Parshas Yisro, Yisro is so impressed that Hashem punished them in the way that they caused the problem, in the way that they acted out and did their misdeed. That's how Hashem punished them. It was very impressive. Why was it so impressive? Because they had made a calculation that Hashem can't punish them through water, and therefore, when they dealt with the Jews, they dealt with the Jews through water. And then Yisro watched, as he had been waiting for years to see what would happen, and he saw how not only is it Mida k'neged Mida, but it's in such a way that only the master of the universe could have orchestrated, that even if the Mitzrayim are right and I can't bring a mabul on them because of my commitment, okay, but if I set it up that they go in, that's not a violation of the commitment, even according to their interpretation. Skipping a line, Omer Avchia bar Abba, Omer Av Simoi, Shlosha hayu be'oso eitzo. At that time that Paro decided to drown the baby boys, and in general to enslave the Jews, Bilam ve'Iov ve'Yisro. There were three people on Paro's advisory committee. Bilam she'yo'atz nerag. Bilam eventually got killed. He was the one who gave the suggestion that they should enslave the Jews, and being that there will be a boy born to save the Jews, according to their astrologers, so he said, so drown the baby boys. Iov shasak nidon biyisurim. Iov that was quiet, he was judged with afflictions, with the concept that if you're quiet when someone's getting hurt, it apparently doesn't bother you, because when things bother you, you scream out, even if you don't have a way that the screaming out is going to solve anything, but if it hurts, you scream. And Yisro Shabarach, Yisro fled because he saw the evil that was being done, so he resigned from his position and ran away. Zachu mibnei banav sheyashvu belishkas hagazis. It ended up that his great-grandchildren were members of the Sanhedrin, the concept apparently being that he was on a committee where he was asked his advice and he resigned because it was immoral, so he was zocha that his great-grandchildren would be on a team, would be on a board, would be on a high court where their opinion would be asked. This time, however, it would be based on Torah, and it would be a moral gathering, and they would be able to participate and give their ruling. I just wanted to add in one interesting observation regarding the calculation that the Mitzrayim had. They're basically saying that Hashem can't punish us with water. Now, they recognized that Hashem was powerful with water, but because of his commitment, he wouldn't punish them with water. This is related to the famous question, they call it the Apikoros question, can Hashem create a rock that he can't move? So if we mean that Hashem can't move, can't, physically can't move, so Hashem can't create a rock that he can't move because Hashem is all-powerful, in which case the Apikoros question goes, well, then there's something he can't do. He can't create the rock that he can't move. But if we mean, can Hashem make a commitment not to move the rock? So then, yes, he can make such a commitment. Hashem can make a commitment that he will not flood the world again. Oh, so there's something he can't do. And the answer is yes, that's correct. Because we never said in Jewish philosophy that Hashem can do everything. What we said in Jewish philosophy was that Hashem is great. Hashem is great. Hashem is noble. We could ask the question a different way. Can Hashem decide to punish the righteous and reward the wicked? Can he do that? Well, he can't, because he made a commitment to reward the righteous and punish the wicked. And can Hashem do anything is not really Jewish philosophy. Hashem is nobility. Hashem is greatness. And therefore, keeping his word is part of nobility and greatness. And that's a commitment that Hashem made. So indeed, Hashem would not flood the world because of Hashem's greatness, in that he keeps his word. Yeshakoach, thank you for joining.